What can I say about the celebration of Pentecost that has not already been said? Nothing. There is nothing that has not already been said, and probably by people who can say it better than I. But that doesn't mean that we don't need to be reminded. Sometimes we need to be reminded how important the Holy Spirit is in our lives as followers of a triune God, a God who comes to us in the form of Mother, Christ, and Spirit. She was there at the beginning of creation, hovering over the waters. She is called upon by Ezekiel and Isaiah. She shows up in John and in Acts and in Galatians, and of course Romans, to name a few. This breath of God that blows among and between us, disrupting, creating, interceding, sighing, disordering our lives. She is mischievous, and we need her. I was captivated by the piece that Paul writes in his letter to the Romans that we heard tonight, and so I just want to let us hear it again. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves. We have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly while we wait for adoption and the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And I love the verbs in this passage. Groan, wait, redemption, hope, pray, intercede, sigh, search, know. These are fleshy words that describe a direct participation with us or on our behalf. We groan inwardly while we wait. Redemption comes for us in our bodies, here in the skin that we are in as a part of the body of Christ. The whole of creation has been groaning with us, waiting. And the Spirit intercedes for us with sighs that are too deep for words, coming sometimes at our request, and sometimes despite us. And in the passage just before the one that we heard, this letter says that creation is waiting in eager expectation for the intervention of the children of God. The creation is subject to frustration. And I think that this has been true throughout history and is still true now. Creation awaits our participation in the redemption of it and us, waits for us to rid ourselves of the evil and the destruction and the anger and the turning away from the love of God that feels everywhere right now. That Spirit is both outside of and a part of us, both within us and around us. She is difficult to describe, this Spirit. She is hard for us to put our fingers on, and we call upon her regularly. So I didn't wake up at 3 a.m. to watch the royal wedding, but I did watch it later after a decent amount of sleep. And I watched it not because I cared about the dress or the stars or whatever, but I wanted to hear what Bishop Michael Curry would preach, what he would say both to those people getting married and to us who were paying attention, because his message was not just for them, It was for us as well. And what did he talk about? But he talked about love and about fire. His was a Pentecost sermon. So I'm going to steal from it a little bit, because he quoted Pierre Tedarjan, I am not going to say that right, but French philosopher and Jesuit priest, who says this: someday, after mastering the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love. And then, for a second time in the history of the world, we will have discovered fire. Man, that sounds so good and so necessary. As we continue to hear about school shootings and global political situations that are scary and dangerous, fire in the form of love sounds really good and like a chaos that I can fully endorse. And I think that is what the Spirit feels like. This Spirit that comes to us in the form of fiery love, who from the beginning of creation has been loving us into being as much as we will allow, seeks to save us from ourselves, groaning and sighing, who helps us to live into the hope that is unseen, a hope that pushes us into the future of possibility and potential, a hope that the church was built on, the hope that we would realize Jesus Christ in the world and seek to live our lives following his commandment to love. And I wonder if we will ever harness the energies of love. But I think this is what the Spirit looks like the energies of love, like fire, like the sense of something that we can do no other but follow. It is unpredictable and chaotic, and I think that we both fear and love her. We have no idea where she will blow us to next. So how on earth do we harness something like that? And honestly, do we want to? I'm not sure I want to. I sort of love that I have no idea what will happen next. I would never have told you when I was first ordained that I would plant this congregation. In fact, as many of you know, I was pretty clear that being ordained was a ridiculous plan for me and not one that I was interested in. And yet, it turns out it has been the best plan for me. And I know that it was the push of the Spirit that brought me here. And I've said this before, but pastoring this congregation with its uncompromising affirmation that we are all beloved members of God's beautiful creation has been the best work that I have ever been invited into. And again, I know for certain that it was the Spirit that brought me here. Because left to my own devices, I would happily sit on the couch reading books and watching Call the Midwife. But she wouldn't have it. There was work for me to do. Because of her nudge and pushing and groaning, I get to stand here now. It is through the Spirit, I believe, that we feel the presence of God and enter into community with one another and stand with and for one another. And I believe that when we allow our lives to be disordered by the Spirit of God, there is so much possibility in what we can do and how we can change the world around us. When we open ourselves to the voice of God and stop resisting that her plan might be different from our own, we who like order and safety, we turn our lives more and more fully to God when we listen to her. And creation is waiting for this to happen. She has been waiting for a long time. So rather than basing our lives on power and acquisition, on accumulation and individualism, we are called upon to open ourselves to each other, to make ourselves vulnerable and available. And when we do this, I believe we are part of birthing another way of being. And it's not new. This is very old, this hope that we will turn towards God and respond to the Spirit and to live into God. It is ancient. But how? So as we celebrate this Pentecost Sunday, as we give thanks for the power of the Spirit and the knowledge that it is real, as we talk about the fire of love, I wonder, how do we take this out into the world and live a different way? And I want to say those verbs that show up in our reading from Romans again. And I want to invite you to listen and see if you connect to any of them. Do you notice a reaction? What do they evoke in you? What do they bring up for you? What do they tell you? Or do they tell you anything at all about the Spirit and your connection to her? So here they are. Groan, wait, redemption, hope, pray, intercede, sigh, search, know. These are verbs, but they are also action words, and they are also descriptive words of the Spirit. They tell us something about us and about her, and about the relationship between us and the rest of creation. There is groaning all around us, and sometimes it is too much to bear. We wait to be invited or to notice or feel where we are called or invited or feel pushed. We know redemption in our bodies when we turn towards the love of God. And our faith is enfleshed. It lives in us and was shown in the flesh of Jesus Christ. We live into hope. There is always hope in some form. Love is always possible. We pray, connecting our hearts and our minds and our bodies to the love of God. We allow the Spirit to intercede, opening ourselves to the possibilities that she offers, and we listen for her sighs. We search our hearts and notice that God is here too, and we trust in the knowledge that we have of God and that God has of us, and in our ability to live into the love and the power that the Spirit offers us. It is messy and beautiful, and usually not at all what we plan. But the Spirit offers us so much more than we can offer ourselves. And it is our job to allow for that possibility. Amen.